Thank you for tuning in today for our teaching. We want to pray and go to the Word of God. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, anoint my lips to speak, anoint those that receive the Word of God. And God, you promised it wouldn't come back void, so accomplish with it that wherein you have chosen. And God, bless all those that participate today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to minister and teach on a subject today called the Word of God. The Bible says in John 1 and 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In John 6 and 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Now, here we understand of the Word of God. Jesus spoke the Word, and the Word was that which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And from the beginning was the Word. It was an everlasting, and our God is a pre-existing God. Our Christ is a pre-existent. He wasn't just created or come into being. He was in the beginning, and He was with God, and He was God. And these words, they are spirit and they are life. The letter in itself killeth. We'll cover that more later. But it takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The purpose of John 20 and 31, "But these are written that they might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." All life is given through that name of Jesus, and without Him, the Bible said, "He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life." And then in John, in 1 John, that is, in 5 and 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Then verse 17. "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." When you put the Word of God in you, it's going to bring forth righteous and holy living. God's Word will create in you the right spirit. It will take care of reproof, correction. It will give you instruction in righteousness, and it'll teach you how to live. Now then, we go to the source. 1 Peter in 1 and verse 20 and 21, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." Verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost." God anoints His Word and only His Word. He will not anoint a fairy tale, a bedtime story, as old saying goes, but He anoints His Word. And these men, inspired by the Holy Ghost, moved on by the Holy Ghost, written this Word. "Word endures forever," Matthew 5 and 18. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Matthew 24 and 35. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." You can understand it's not going to change. It's going to stay the same, and it'll never fail, and it'll never pass away. 1 Peter 1 and 25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." There again, that word endureth forever. It never passes away. It never changes. Now, the Word of God has been forevermore settled. In Psalms 119 and 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." Won't be no amendments to it. It has been settled, and it will not be changed. God is truth, according to the Word of God. in Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be truth. And that's the word of God. He said, let every man be a liar, let God be the truth. If you don't believe it, it's going to not make it any less effect to me. You can't kill it but not believing it. You only kill it in your life. But you cannot utterly kill the word of God but not believing it. The word is sure, according to 1 Kings 8 and 56. Blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he has promised. There has not failed one word of all the good promises which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And here again, it's not going to fail. God's going to keep every promise made. Ezekiel 12 and 25. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the words that I shall speak shall come to pass. Isaiah 40 and 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. There again, confirming that it's forever and it never changes. There's power in the word. Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper whereto I send it. If we allow the word of God to be in us, the Bible says, which above all things you've been health and prosper, such as your soul prosper. When we allow God's word to be within us, it is going to prosper within us. Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know, he said if we be ashamed of him, he will not confess us before the Father. And he talked about being ashamed of them, this sinful and adulterous generation. He will not confess us to the Father. And the fact he is the mediator, he's the only door, he's the way, the life, and truth. We need his confession before the Father. Then the word is for spiritual hope. Romans 15 and 4. For whatsoever thing were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And he talks about being an example or an example in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. Now all these things happened unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And then the word, it's like a sword according to the word of God in Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Then it goes on in Ephesians 6 and 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then the Bible says it's like a flame in Jeremiah 5 and 14. Wherefore, thus said the Lord, God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and his people wood, and shall devour them. It is a comfort, according to Psalms 119:82. My eyes fail for the word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? We're to meditate and hide in our hearts, Psalms 119 and 97. Oh, how I love the law, it is my meditation all the day. Then Psalms 119 and 11 goes on to say, thou word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. Psalms 119 and 140, it tells us the word is pure. Thy word is very pure, therefore thou servant loveth it. We are to search and study, according to John 5 and 39. Search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Paul, he said to Timothy to study in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thou self approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. And let me stop right there. Very important we rightly divide the word. You can't just pull a context out of one and then out of another and put them together and make a doctrine. It's got to be rightly divided. The Bible goes on to say rightly dividing the word of truth must be preached in spirit. Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter, the first 6 verses or so. I won't read the entirety of that, but he simply said it must be preached. His preaching was not enticing words, and he went on to explain, but in the power, in verse 4, in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. And that's the will of God, it be preached. And he said it wouldn't be in the wisdom of man, but he wanted that everybody, that they would, their faith would stand in God, not in him. And that's the reason the word must be preached with power and with demonstration. Then in 2 Corinthians, in the 3rd chapter in verse 6, it goes on to say, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Then the word is joy. Jeremiah 15 and 16, the words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by the name of the Lord God of hosts. And the Bible said the word is sweet, Psalms 119 and 103. How sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The word is light, according to Psalms 19 and 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and commanding of the Lord is pure, enlighten the eyes. Then the Bible talks about it's a danger to change it, and any part of it or any part of the word to change it or to take out. In Deuteronomy 4 and 2, it also comes back and tells us in Revelations 22 and 19. And that verse reads this understanding. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. That kind of stands alone, needs very little said. He's going to blot your name out of the book if you commit that evil sin. Psalms 119 and 72 explains, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. That's the value of the word, because, you know, the word, if we have the word, we have God within us and we have the fullness. Job 23 and 12, I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. That kind of tells us that it's very, very important, because we all know we got to have food. Now we look to Psalms 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them out of their destruction. It's the source of all faith. Romans 10 and 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible tells us plainly that Jesus used the word against Satan in Luke 4 and 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then in John 8 and 47, he that is of God heareth my word. Revelation 21 and 8, the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. James 1 and 22, but ye We must be doers of the word and not hearers only. You can have the Bible on your coffee table or under the seat of your car. You can have it everywhere, but it's not going to do you any good till you get it in your heart. And the Bible goes on to tell us that we are sanctified by the word in John 17 and 17. Ephesians 5 and 26, the washing of the water by the word. And we know that all judgment is going to be given by the word, and we've got several scriptures that backs that up in John 12 and 48, and Matthew in the 7th chapter, 24 through 29, Matthew 13 and 3, and then we'll go John 15, 1 through 7. Time won't permit that we would read all those scriptures and cover all of them, but they substantiate the word of God. All judgment is going to come through the word of God, and we need to adhere to the word of God and walk and abide in the word of God. Thank you for tuning in today. Let's pray. God, in the name of Jesus, let the word of God that's preached and spoke, let it go out and be life, be spirit in the hearts and lives of those who receive it. Grant healing, grant miracles. You said you sent your word and heal them. So today, do the same. Send your word and heal them. Let them have victory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, until the next teaching, may God richly bless and keep you.